Hi, I'm Nitin Agarwal from the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and today I will talk about the fundamental challenges and performance trade-offs in designing solid-state drives, or SSDs, which this work attempts to understand and address. This is joint work with Vijayan Prabhakaran, Ted Wobber, John Davis, Mark Manasa, and Reena Panigrahi at Microsoft Research Silicon Valley. So clearly there is some difference in the way a hard disk and a solid-state drive looks. But the difference is not just in appearance. Flash and hard disks have fundamental differences in the way they store and retrieve data and perform operations such as reads and writes. This has implications on cost, power consumption, and very importantly, performance. So can we understand the performance characteristics of flash-based SSDs? This is the question we seek to answer in this work. SSDs have great potential for use in both portable environments and in server room applications requiring high IOs per second. It offers excellent read latencies and comparable bandwidth as hard disks. A smaller number of SSDs can sustain the same higher I/O rates as a larger number of hard disks, lowering the overall cost. SSDs consume less power than disks, and additionally, since there is no spin-up and spin-down involved, it's easy to switch between ready and standby modes, an important power-saving feature in data centers. Flash also promises better reliability in the absence of moving parts, besides other benefits such as a smaller form factor. So if all looks good, what is the problem? The problem is that all these potential benefits do not come for free. In order to achieve the full potential of solid-state drives, we need to first overcome the several constraints of NAND flash media, the building blocks of SSDs. To start with, the fundamental problem with NAND flash is the way writes are handled. Flash does not allow in-place overwrite of data. A rewrite must always be written to a new location. Also, writes can only go to erase blocks. A block is a collection of flash pages that I'll touch upon in just a little bit. This block erasure is needed before a page rewrite. Flash is a completely different beast as compared to RAM and disk when it comes to writing to the media. The second challenge is the limited serial bandwidth to flash chips, as it limits read and write bandwidth, especially in I/O-intensive environments. And finally, the last challenge is the finite erase cycles over media lifetime, since each flash block can only be erased a finite number of times. The goal of this work, we intend to understand each of the limitations of NAND flash. We want to identify the challenges in designing SSDs using NAND flash as building blocks, propose architectures and solutions to address the challenges, and analyze trade-offs wherever applicable, especially as they relate to performance. Understanding the key challenges in SSD design are the central theme for this talk. In order to do so, we studied flash chip specifications from different vendors in order to better understand the properties of flash media. We then devised algorithms and data structures for use in SSD firmware. In order to evaluate our designs, we gathered traces from running systems, such as a large-scale TPCC configuration and a Microsoft Exchange server. We analyzed our algorithms and trade-offs using a trace-based simulator that we wrote for this purpose. It is worth pointing out that some of the designs that we propose and are simulating don't yet exist in the marketplace. From our work, we find that there are trade-offs in almost all aspects of SSD design. The performance and lifetime of the device are highly sensitive to workload characteristics. There is significant interplay between hardware and software components. For example, requiring full connectivity for greater parallelism increases the required pin count at the controller. Also, issues that normally appear higher-end systems or even in distributed systems, such as load balancing and free block management, appear at SSD firmware. Our work shows that careful SSD design choices help sustain workloads with high I/O rates and increase the usable lifetime. The rest of the talk is organized as follows. I will first give a brief introduction to NAND flash and how SSDs are constructed. I will also give a quick overview of our simulation framework. I will then spend most of the remaining time on the constraints of flash media and the key challenges in designing SSDs. As I go along, I will present some of our techniques and their evaluation, and finally conclude. Detailed discussion of these techniques and their evaluation can be found in the paper. I will now walk through the physical characteristics of a NAND flash package from Samsung. Although different vendors can have some differences, for the purposes of this work and this talk, we will use this design as a canonical example. The slide shows a 4-gigabyte flash package consisting of two dies or chips of 2 gigabytes each. Currently, packages are composed of 1, two or four such chips. Each chip consists of four planes organized as plane pairs. And later in this talk, I will give an example of the consequences of the plane pair organization. Each plane has a byte-wide serial register for pushing data in and out. The plane consists of a number of 256 kilobyte blocks, and the blocks in turn consist of 64 4 kilobyte pages. A page is the smallest unit for read and write, and a block is the smallest unit of erase. The entire package has an 8-bit serial interface. Just to give you some numbers, it takes about 100 microseconds to transfer data in and out of the data register, 25 microseconds to read a page from the media, and 200 microseconds to write or program the media, as it is called. The block erase operation, noticeably, is much more expensive, taking 1.5 milliseconds. NAND-based SSDs are typically constructed from an array of such packages. The figure here shows a 32-gigabyte SSD consisting of 8 4-gigabyte packages. Each SSD contains a host interface logic to support some form of host connection, such as USB, SATA, or PCI Express, and some memory to maintain mappings and data structures. An internal buffer manager holds pending and satisfied requests along the primary data path. And a multiplexer emits commands and data along the serial connection to the flash packages. A processing engine is also required to manage the request flow and for logical disk emulation to enable the SSD to mimic a hard disk drive. Our work addresses the challenges in SSD design at the firmware layer, which implements a flash translation layer, or FTL. We have built a trace-driven simulator for SSD using DiskSim as the platform for customization. Our simulator has support for multiple request streams and maintains additional data structures for SSD state. It also has configuration parameters for a number of our proposed designs. To evaluate our designs, we use a number of real traces, including a large-scale TPCC configuration of 16,000 warehouses, and a trace from a server running Microsoft Exchange, besides standard file system benchmarks such as Postmark and iOZone. I will not talk about the challenges in designing SSDs in detail. Flash is a peculiar media when it comes to writing. First of all, data cannot be overwritten in place. And secondly, pages can be written only to erase blocks, thereby requiring that blocks be erased before page rewrites. In order to understand the first challenge, we need to first understand how writes work on flash media. During initialization of the media, all bits are set to 1, which are then set to 0 on a write. Writes also need to be in ascending order of pages within a block. Before the flash block can be rewritten, all bits need to be reset back to 1 with the use of an erase operation. This implies that all rewrites thus must be written to a new location, and the old page is superseded and available for cleaning. The grouping of physical pages into blocks is for the purposes of erasure efficiency. A direct consequence of the write constraint is that a mapping from logical disk addresses to physical flash addresses needs to be maintained as the SSD firmware. And there are many ways of doing so, for example, using striping. For a per-block mapping granularity, such as the one shown on this slide, a rewrite of a page involves invalidating the old mapping, writing the superseded page or pages to a new block, and updating the mapping. Since the mapping is for the entire block in this case, all pages in the block, in addition to the one being currently written, it needs to be copied to the new destination block. The superseded pages are later reclaimed during a cleaning process, and the block is subsequently erased. Although per-block mapping results in much smaller mapping table, which is easy to maintain at the SSD firmware, rewrites necessitate copying out all the pages to a new block. This translates to heavy read-modify-write overhead for any rewrite. So while SSDs offer good sequential read and write performance and excellent random read performance, they suffer from poor random write performance. This slide shows the example of an SSD from Mtron that shows several orders of magnitude worse performance for random writes as compared to sequential writes. We believe that one of the primary reasons for that is the read-modify-write overhead as a result of coarse mapping granularity. So the other option is to use a per-page mapping granularity, wherein only the page being currently overwritten needs to be copied out and reclaimed, substantially improving the performance of random workloads. Although now, the mapping tables are larger and increase complexity at the controller. Another idiosyncrasy of writing to Flash is that it needs writes to go to erase blocks only. So we need an erase prior to a block prior to a page rewrite. This has consequences on the choice of logical page sizes. For a logical page size equal to the Flash block, such as one shown on this slide, cleaning becomes much simple, as no content needs to be migrated from the cleaning candidate block, which is Flash block A, to the destination block, and only a mapping needs to be updated. However, the simplified cleaning comes at a performance cost. Large page size results in high read-modify-write costs for writes smaller than the page size, similar to the case of per-block mapping granularity that I just talked about. With a logical page size equal to a Flash page instead, a greedy cleaning strategy selects the candidate with the best cleaning efficiency. And we define cleaning efficiency as the ratio of superseded pages to valid pages. In this example, Flash block A is the candidate for erasure with the most superseded pages. The cost of cleaning now is proportional to the number of valid pages needed to be moved from the cleaning block to the destination block. And in this case, the two life pages Q and R are moved to block C, and the block A is then erased. To summarize the first challenge, NAND Flash suffers from a fundamental limitation. It does not allow in-place rewrites. This limitation has several consequences. First, we need a log-structured style store for improved and acceptable performance. We also need to maintain a mapping from logical disk addresses to physical Flash addresses at the Flash translation layer. And finally, we need a cleaning process to reclaim superseded pages for later reuse. The second aspect of this challenge is that Flash blocks need to be erased before reuse, and cleaning of valid pages needs to be done before erasure. The greedy cleaning strategy that I've just talked about picks the block with the most superseded pages. The erasure has consequences on the choice of logical page size for cleaning costs. A small logical page size, while allows for fine-grained control over placement, requires more work to move valid pages from erasure candidates. On the other hand, a choice of logical page size equal to the Flash block size simplifies erasure, but now we have to incur heavy read-modify-write costs for small writes. In practice, SSDs are typically over-provisioned with spare capacity to reduce the foreground cleaning load, although it reduces the available capacity of the drive. A simple result here shows the average I/O latency for TPCC for large and small logical page sizes. The point here to note is that there is a 100-fold decrease in the I/O latency for a page size equal to a Flash page as compared to one which it is equal to a Flash block. The takeaway is that small page sizes are good, although they do incur higher cleaning costs, which needs to be addressed by better cleaning strategies. We now understand the second key challenge in SSD design, which is the limited serial bandwidth to the Flash media. If you remember, each Flash package contains an 8-bit serial I/O bus, which requires 100 microseconds to transfer a 4KB page from the on-chip register to the off-chip controller. This is four times the time taken to read data into the register and half the time taken to write to the NAND cells from the register. The serial bottleneck affects the latency and bandwidth of any SSD built from these NAND chips. In order to get around the serial bottleneck, we use striping and interleaving wherever possible to improve bandwidth and decrease latency. Data in an SSD can be striped across the Flash packages, or striped across dies or chips within a single package, or even interleaved within and across dies. A fully connected Flash array with request queues for each independent element will require greater complexity and a large number of pins. As SSDs scale in capacity, they will need more and more number of packages per SSD. This will likely become more and more difficult in terms of the pin count sustainable at the controller. We propose using ganging, wherein a gang is a collection of packages operating in synchrony. Ganging allows for the benefits of parallelism without overloading the controller requirements. There are two schemes of ganging that we propose. A shared bus gang has common data and control lines to multiple Flash packages. This increases the addressability of these packages, but also reduces bandwidth. A shared control gang, on the other hand, allows multi-chip operations in parallel by having separate data lines to the Flash packages. However, the shared control line requires that operations must be in lockstep. Additionally, interleaving can be employed to improve bandwidth and hide latency of costly operations, such as servicing a long-running erase on one chip while the other chip services reads and writes. One example of a constraint that Flash organization imposes is that interleaved operations are not allowed on the same plane pair. But vendors provide other options for multiple in-flight operations. And finally, background operations can be employed wherever possible, such as using the intra-plane copyback operation for background cleaning on idle components. I'll explain the intra-plane copyback operation. A copyback operation enables pages to be copied to another block within the same plane at a much faster rate by avoiding going through the serial pins, which I've talked about are slow. To summarize, full connectivity between the controller and Flash packages will become increasingly difficult to achieve in practice, thereby requiring some form of ganging. From amongst the different options available to overcome the serial bottleneck, no one scheme is optimal across workloads. A workload with large sequential chunks of I/O can be striped in a gang effectively. One with inherent parallelism can benefit from a parallel queuing, request queuing structure. And a workload with no locality would have poor cleaning efficiency and require that the choice of cleaning be compatible with foreground load. Let us look at some example evaluations. This figure here shows the impact of interleaving on performance. The graph shows the relative improvement in IOs per second for different workloads under different interleaving schemes. The blue bar shows the relative improvement by interleaving across dies in a package, whereas the red bar shows the improvements by interleaving even within a die across plane pairs. Note that TPCC and Exchange workloads show little or no gain. To understand this further, we look at the average queue lengths for the four workloads and find that both TPCC and Exchange exhibit no queuing and consequently little benefit from interleaving. Postmark and IOZone, on the other hand, have significant sequential IO component that results in queuing and hence improvements using interleaving. Our next evaluation is of cleaning performance when using the intra-plane copyback operation that I just mentioned. This should ideally reduce cleaning costs by avoiding transfer through the slow serial pins. And TPCC indeed shows a 40% reduction in the time it takes to clean. However, there is no benefit for both IOZone and Postmark, as these workloads already have perfect cleaning efficiency. Both this and the previous result for interleaving show that performance of SSD designs are highly sensitive to workload characteristics. Finally, the third important challenge in SSD design is to ensure acceptable device lifetime, since flash blocks can be erased only a finite number of times. So we need to delay expiry of any single block and ensure that all blocks wear out evenly to ensure good acceptable lifetime of the SSD device. The greedy cleaning algorithm that I've mentioned, based on cleaning efficiency, implies poor wear leveling, as hot blocks with frequently updated data will have higher cleaning efficiency and will get cleaned over and over again. We propose a modified algorithm that uses the remaining lifetime of a block to ensure even wear. The remaining lifetime of a block is defined as the maximum erasure count minus its current erasure count. We also maintain high and low markers on the remaining lifetime to ensure that lifetime across blocks is within an acceptable variance. We also maintain a queue of blocks with cold data to swap with blocks with hot data when they start to get frequently erased. Let us look at this algorithm in a little bit more detail. The slide shows two flash blocks. Block A is the candidate for erasure, and block B is the destination block for live page migration. Initially, when blocks are far from expiry, greedy cleaning is used. And as blocks begin to get recycled, their erasure count increases and the remaining lifetime decreases. Once the remaining lifetime drops below the high marker, we also migrate cold data into the block after erasure. The intuition here is that otherwise, hot data keeps getting circulated among recently cleaned block. Finally, when remaining lifetime drops below the low marker, that is for worn out blocks, we throttle the selection of the block itself as a candidate for erasures. What this means is that probability for erasing the block A now is reduced linearly as the remaining lifetime decreases. We find that the choice of cleaning and wear leveling are closely tied to performance and lifetime of the device. By swapping blocks with cold and hot data, our modified algorithm delays the expiry of any single block and increases the overall usable lifetime of the device. We now look at the impact of using clever wear labeling algorithms on device lifetime. By adding rate limiting alone, much fewer blocks reach expiry at the end of an IO zone workload run. By adding migration of cold content and rate limiting, IO zone shows a much smaller deviation of remaining lifetimes and no expired blocks at the end of workload run. There is, however, a 5% overhead in IO latency due to the migration of cold pages. To summarize the key design trade-offs, no one technique suffices all workloads. The table here illustrates this with a few examples. A large allocation pool, while allows for good load balancing, supports fewer intra-chip operations. Large page size reduces the size of the page table at the controller, making it more manageable, however, incurs high read-modify-write overheads. Over-provisioning of SSDs reduces the foreground load and cleaning at the cost of reduced capacity as well. Ganging makes parallelism practical by requiring sparser wiring, also reduces bandwidth. And finally, striping, while allows for concurrency at the cost of loss of locality. We believe that these trade-offs are largely independent of each other, but leave a rigorous examination of this hypothesis for future work. We believe our work is the first attempt in systematic exploration of the SSD design space. Our contributions are as follows. We develop effective mappings and data structures at the firmware to mitigate rewrite costs. We present data placement schemes to reduce the cleaning costs. We propose ganging as a means to achieve practical parallelism and striping and interleaving schemes to improve the performance. Finally, we propose a wear leveling algorithm to delay block expiry and increase SSD lifetime, which is crucial to its adoption in update-intensive workloads. One corollary of our work is that storage systems, which in the past have needed support substantial TPCC workloads, have needed a large number of disk spindles to sustain high I/O rates. These can now be replaced by much fewer SSDs. In these configurations, traditionally, many cost-inefficient hard disks are used to increase I/O parallelism. The example here shows the TPCC configuration of 16,000 warehouses from which our trace was collected. It contains 14 RAID fiber channel controllers, each with 28 high-end SCSI disks of 36 gigabytes each. The workload uses, however, only 160 GB out per controller out of the available almost a terabyte-sized LANs, since the database only uses the few outer cylinders to improve performance. This configuration generates about 3,600 IOs per second per RAID controller. This is well within the range of a couple of SSDs that can do parallel IOs, even without fancy write algorithms and cleaning. Hence, we are able to replace the 340-odd disks in this configuration with about 65 SSDs, resulting in substantial savings in cost, not to mention additional savings in power. To conclude, in this work, we understand and address the key challenges in SSD design. We find that there are numerous trade-offs in designing SSDs. We find that there is significant interplay between hardware and software components, and the performance and lifetime of the device are highly sensitive to workload characteristics. Also, issues that normally appear in higher up in systems or in distributed systems appear at SSD firmware. Our work shows that careful design choices can help sustain workloads with high I/O rates on SSDs and increase the lifetime of the device. SSDs have the potential to change the storage landscape. We believe our work deepens the understanding of SSDs and opens up numerous interesting avenues for future work. Thank you. With that, I'll take questions.
Hi, Jason Flynn from Michigan. Why is wear leveling a worthy goal? In other words, why do anything fancy there? Why not just use these blocks as you would, and if a block becomes worn out, you just don't use it anymore? And if you start to, at some point, you'll start running out of space, and you go and you buy a bigger flash drive, or you get another one and you stick it in parallel.
So I think I guess there's one obvious answer to that question, which is cost. I mean, it is not just really cheap to just go out and buy out an entire flash farm again for every configuration. And especially in update-intensive workloads such as TPC configurations, if you run out of your, if your device runs out of its lifetime in a year or less than a year, then it would be a very costly proposition to replace the entire farm. And the second thing is that doing so is doing weight leveling is challenging, but it's not impractical. And we have shown that even by some simple techniques, by swapping hot and cold data, we can improve the lifetime by a good bit. And back of the envelope calculations for this configuration showed about a 3 to 5-fold increase in the device lifetime.
Well, I guess one way to phrase the question is you get a finite number of erases, and you're trying to make sure those are evenly distributed across the SSD. But why not just let them be fall where they may, and you're going to lose a few before the others, but you'll still have some storage left for a long time.
Right. So there is typically some over-provisioning for that, and which is also there for for example, if blocks within a flash go bad. But I'm not clear as to why you would not need weight leveling at all, because I think it's just kind of makes more sense to have some kind of algorithm to increase the lifetime by whatever factor.
I guess
can.
My definition of lifetime is by block, and yours is by device.
Right.
And I understand that. This is a hypothetical question, but perhaps we'll take it offline. I don't want to take questions.
Is this mic on? So I actually just have a follow-up to what Jason said, which is that if you have a block that is only ever going to be written once,
okay,
then your wearing strategy would actually migrate that to some block that's about to wear out.
Right.
Right, so you actually could get a really big increase in wear if you do have like a very small hot set and a very large cold
set.
Right,
if you have a very large cold set, then letting the cold data sit in those blocks just makes the lifetime of the device as a whole go down, because the hot data will make sure that the hot blocks get frequently erased, which is what we do not want.
Right.
We want to ensure that the wear out is even, and so that's why we use the migration of the cold and hot data to
right.
ensure
so
that it wears out evenly.
The improvement, though, in lifetime increase is proportional to the ratio between hot set and cold
right.
set,
so
right?
So given
you
a workload,
get, like, dramatic.
Right. Given a workload which has a smaller hot working set and a much larger cold working set, the benefits would be even more.
Okay, thanks. One more question?
So what would, sorry, go ahead.
Whether, where leveling would be an issue there, or whether the fact that the cache doesn't change that frequently, heat rates can be relatively high, would allow you to get away with much simpler strategies.
So, the choice of weight leveling and the effect of weight leveling is highly sensitive to the workload characteristics. For example, if your workload is not update intensive or does not have frequent small writes, then you would kind of have a lesser task of ensuring that even wear. But if your workloads is such that there is a lot of small random writes, and if you do not do any kind of clustering at the cache level, and all your writes go to the disk all the time, then your weight leveling becomes a big issue.